Greetings. Greetings of love and peace and gratitude and thanksgiving and all of the above to each one. What a we find ourselves very unworthy this morning to have God continue to work in the hearts of all of us, and especially appreciated the testimonies this morning, Brother John and Marianne and Sister Marianne and Sister Sylvia. We, I think maybe eternity sometime will help us understand the value in what God has done and what God is doing, and the value of clear conversion. And it's a start. It's a start. It's a beginning. The Bible has no promises for a good beginning, but yet there's hope, a living hope. There's assurance that he that endures to the end shall be saved. So this morning, one of the burdens on my heart, the burden on my heart this morning goes with endurance. It's patience. And the two are kind of together in their own way. And this is a subject that God's been working in my heart and life on, and there's much room there yet for him to continue to work. So I'm not standing up here as one that has all of this where I want it to be in my life, but I'm excited to take a look at these few thoughts here this morning together. So why don't we just have a word of prayer? Maybe you can stand. Would it be a blessing to stand for a word of prayer? I think it would be good. Father, truly, we're in awe. How can we understand you, Lord, in a better way? How can we know you in a deeper way, Lord? Thank you for being with us, and thank you for inhabiting your praises as you promised to do. Thank you for this word of testimony that we've heard. Thank you for all that it's done, the effects it has on our life. Thank you for saving these souls, Lord, and bringing them to yourself. And would you continue, Lord, would you continue to help us to all be true followers of yours, true disciples, to embrace the cross. So thank you for this service. Thank you for each and every one that is here, Lord. You know this feeble vessel. You know the failings and shortcomings, my mind, and you know how much I need you. So would you just guide and lead me? My heart, there's many different thoughts on my heart. Would I somehow be able to be surrendered and allow you to lead me? So thank you for this service. Thank you for the opportunity to have you speak into our hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, I would like to share some few thoughts here on patience. And patience, this is not a message of, this is not a message that is teaching my thoughts here. It's not a message that is teaching passivity, or the message is not, I had all this in my mind here. And now it's leaving me. But it's not a message of compromise or passivity or those things. That's not what the message is today. It is as closely associated with endurance. And at the beginning here, I would just like to share that patience is closely connected to humility and surrender. And patience comes to be a virtue in our life once we have a complete understanding of God being in control. And when patience wants to work that in our lives. When we face a situation, I think it's patience that wants to lead us to understanding God is in this situation. And God is leading this, and God wants to work in my life. So patience is submissive waiting, is one definition that I would like to share here. God moves differently than we think at times. You know, the Bible clearly teaches us that Who can know the ways of God? His ways are past finding out. And that doesn't mean that God is this mysterious being that we cannot know anything about. But it does mean that sometimes God moves differently than we think He should. And that we think He will. And I would say that over my years of experience, and not that I'm very old and have experienced much, but the one thing that I would say is that God's not up in heaven racing around like sometimes we do here on earth. And He moves slower than we think He does many times. God moves at a slower pace than sometimes we think He does. Patience is in the mercy of God. I would like to just share a couple of things that my mind is going to different. Want to let God direct it. I think it was one day last week, or was it the week before? I don't remember. I was on the phone with Brother Aaron Yoder, and I was leaving my drive, and my neighbor with a whole with his buggy full. He has a Johnny wagon, and there was quite a few children on the Johnny wagon, and he was almost to the end of his drive, and he was leaving. And clear out by the house, they have a fairly long lane. Clear out by the house, I seen this little girl, and she had her bonnet and her shawl on, and she was just coming out of the house, and she started running just as fast as she could. And the buggy was about to turn on the road, and I thought they had forgot her. I thought that with all the children and everything, that they didn't realize that there was one that wasn't on the buggy. And so I pulled up close and I got his attention. And I pointed back to the little girl that was running out the drive. And and then he kind of just nodded his head and they waved and thanked me for it. And so a couple of days later, his dad died. As I went through the greeting line, I told him, I said, I thought you had forgot your little girl. And I pointed and he said, no, we didn't forget her. We were trying to teach her a lesson. And he was a little embarrassed that he had to tell me that, but he said that he got tired of waiting. And they decided to teach her a lesson by just starting to leave. And I share this account this morning just to say to you all that sometimes I feel like we have that picture of God, but I'm not sure that that's an accurate picture of God. In my own life, we're so ignorant, and I have found God being so patient with me over and over. He is patient and long-suffering. But brothers, if God allows us and we have time here, we want to get into more of the practical things here on patience. But before we do, there's a scripture here. It's an amazing scripture that Jesus gives us. In Luke chapter 21, He's talking about persecution. And He's saying what all is going to happen to us in the last days. And I find it really interesting that, let's just read a little bit of it here, just to give you some idea. He says, they will lay hands on us. They'll persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and in prisons. And, he says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And he's talking, this gives you some idea what Jesus is talking about here in this chapter. And then in verse 19, I see this little nugget. And he says, in patience possess ye your souls. To me, those are amazing words as he goes on and continues to talk, almost as the chapter, I think, that would correlate with Matthew 24. But the meaning here of one of the messages in this word here, in patience possess ye your souls, is that when we have patient endurance, that ye shall win. It's a positive word. It's a word of confidence. It's like you shall win. If you have this patience in your souls, you shall win. And that just blessed and encouraged me to see that word in the middle of that chapter in that context. But we shall continue on here. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Think of those words. Ye have need of patience. You know, not too often on earth do we, there are blessings, but God Himself doesn't come up alongside of us every time we do something right and say, "Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You did a good job. Thank you for doing that." And so, even when we do what is right, my dear brothers and sisters, the title, before I forget, the title says, "Be patient, brethren." But it's insinuated, "Be patient, sisters," as well. I'm not talking to just the brothers here this morning. But back to the thought here. Not too often does God physically come and thank us and whatnot. So this scripture here, I think, is referring to, it says, "Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God," after you do what is right, "you might receive the promise." We continue to need to have patience, that God, we have a faithful God that will do what is right. Patience is an inner habit found in God's people. It is uncomplaining submission. It is enduring of evil that springs out of the love for God. I think this patience, one of the foundations of it is a deep love for God. When we have a deep love for God, I think patience can spring from that foundation of a deep love for God. It is the will of God that we learn to possess our souls in patience. My dear brothers and sisters, that is some of my burden here this morning. May God help us to continue to get more practical as we go on here. Patience is willing to wait on God. Patience is not doing what we know that God wants us to do. But patience is willing to wait when we don't have a sure word from the Lord. As God's word says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." In James 5, maybe we'll get to that scripture later. Patience is submissive waiting, but doing it expectantly. Think of that. Submissive waiting, but doing it expectantly, with deep assurance that God has a situation. God has a situation completely in control. And so it's submissive waiting, but doing it expectantly, knowing who it is trusting in. It is trusting in God Himself. Patience is an act of self-control or temperance. As Peter says here, "And besides this," let me just turn, maybe I'll read it here. "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control or temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." I think another word that would fitly be interchanged here, as I forgot to share, is endurance. Endurance, I think, would be a fit word to put in here as well as a definition. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 here, if you have your Bibles. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Talks about chastening here. Hebrews has a lot to say about chastening. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." This word is in here because it is one important aspect of patience is that we learn to control our feelings and our desires. We need to recognize when they are wrong. And we need to learn to let God's word govern our lives. Brothers and sisters, that is important. You know, So we find ourselves in this situation, and it happens all the time. And so the first thing that can happen is my feelings, this and this, and they can just go. So my heart here, and one of the points is that we need to learn to let God's Word govern our lives and not our feelings and desires. And I'm saying this here for my own self as well. Peter further says in verse 6, be patient. He means do not give up when life gets difficult. Behave in a way that pleases God. Behave in a way that pleases God when we face challenges. It's important that we remember that God has authority over everything. We should run the race that is set before us with patience and not so quickly let the feelings of giving up enter our mind. All too quick, brothers and sisters, especially in our young walk, all too quick we hear people say, forget it. It's not worth it. I'm just going to give up. And I'm just wanting to encourage us. I think those are words and thoughts that we do not want to let even enter our mind and our thoughts. Amen? Amen. We have all to win. We have all to gain. Let's run the race with patience. Okay, so many scriptures, we will probably not be able to do justice to them all. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. That is a truth, brothers and sisters, as we consider patience today. God is an expert at trying our faith. He has so many ways to try our faith and to strengthen it. And that trying of our faith works patience, is what the Bible says. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience. One of the meanings here for the word patience. The suffering of afflictions. Pain. Toil. Calamity. Unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from, this is out of the 1828 dictionary. A calm temper which bears evil without murmuring or discontent. It's one of the meanings of patience here. More scriptures here. I thought this scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Think of that. You know, many times as people share their heart, they struggle with pride, and we all have our pride that we want God to help us with. But the thought that I had as I read this scripture, the next time you think of pride, think of how can we exchange my spirit of pride for a patient spirit? It says the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. There's several other scriptures here that we could go to on patience, but I think we're just going to keep going here. Patience strengthens the spirit, sweetens the temper, subdues the pride, and bridles the tongue. Here's some more practical things. Patience helps keep us from hasty, rash conclusions that often are from our desires instead of God's Word. Patience enables us to go the right way no matter what kind of trouble we may face. Many times we do okay the first time we're persecuted or tried. So we face hatred or we face persecution. I want you to think of this principle as we're considering patience. Many times the first time we can endure and it doesn't affect us. But then the second and third time, somehow we leave our guard down, and this persecution or this hatred or whatever it is ends up entering in our hearts. And patience would help us to keep our guard up. Many times we do okay the first time we face a situation or we're attacked or something, but on the second or third times we don't do so well. This is where patience helps us keep our guard up. Patience is needed for us to bear God's rod. When God's rod is in our life and we feel like we're on the cross and His rod is trying to teach us something, patience is needed so that we can bear God's rod and learn what he is trying to teach us. He's probably broken several rods on me, sadly. But God wants to teach us, and his rod is here to teach us and to help us. Patience is needed to bear affliction from an evil person who delivers it in a hurtful way. As James says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Be patient, my dear brothers and sisters. Be patient. Some more scriptures here in Romans on patience. Maybe we should just turn there. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Why don't we read through those? Maybe I had even shared these scriptures earlier. I'm not sure, but "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, I do have some practical things here. As I considered patience, I considered the life of Jesus Christ, and I considered fallen humanity, and I considered his life on earth as he walked through this life and the different situations he faced. And I was moved to tears as I considered some of these situations he faced, how he handled them, and the patience that we saw in them. And I'm just going to share these as God gave them to me. They're not in any right order or anything, but I pray that God's Spirit will teach us and will witness to us the perfect example that we have before us, which is Jesus Christ. He is patient. He is the essence of patience, we might say. "Consider the patient seen as the Good Samaritan bound up the wounds and poured in oil and wine to his neighbor, laying along the road. Then he put his neighbor on his own beast and took him to an inn and paid to have him cared for." My dear brothers and sisters, there's patience seen in that, in what the Good Samaritan did. The patience in not worrying or being overly anxious. "Consider the lilies, how patiently they grow. They toil not or spin. God knows what we need." The patience in not worrying or being overly anxious. The patience in the shepherd that leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it and brings it back. The patience of the father who gave his son his share of the inheritance early, only to watch him squander it with righteous living and then run to meet him when he is still a great way off. We see patience in that father. The patience we see in Jesus Christ as he heals the 10 lepers, knowing as he did, only one of them would come back and thank him. That's amazing. He had patience there. He healed all 10 and he knew that only one of them would be thankful. The patience Jesus has as he met Zacchaeus and helped him repent and through all this get converted. The patience we see in Jesus with the little children as their mothers brought them to him for a blessing. He says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." The patience Jesus had with Judas even after he betrayed him to the chief priests. Think of that. "Friend, why hast thou come?" I just see patience in the way Jesus treated, the way Jesus related to him. The patience Jesus had with Peter after Peter deserted him and denied him 3 times. The patience Jesus has as he helps Peter walk on the water. Think of that. Jesus wanted to walk on water, and we see Jesus' patience there. The patience Jesus has with the woman caught in adultery. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Then Jesus turned to her and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Should we all stand for a little bit? Why don't we? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The patience we see Jesus exercise as he raises Lazarus back to life from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. The patience we see as Jesus is the true vine. Abide in me, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, the greatest privilege in the universe. The patience we find in the golden rule. What ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. The patience we see as Jesus calms a storm. He doesn't ask the disciple that came and woke him. So Jesus is on the boat and he's taking a nap. And there's a storm that comes up, and somebody came and woke him and said, Master, Master, we perish. Jesus didn't say to him, why didn't you come sooner? He doesn't say what you ask is, he has patience and he says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I am here with you, is what he's saying. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Because I'm here, is the message I get from it. The patience we see as Jesus sends Peter fishing to get the money to pay the temple tax. And when thou openest its mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give to them for you and for me. The patience we see in Jesus Christ in the Last Supper, in the Garden of Gethsemane. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I think we find much patience in the life of Jesus. I think it can teach us in a better way than I can today. All through the scourging and the crucifixion, we see the endurance and we see the patience of Jesus Christ. Consider the great victory the patience of Jesus wrought as he said, it is finished. It is finished. Consider the patience that it took for him to endure all of those things. You may be seated. Patience. We're going to share some more thoughts here on patience, more in a practical way. Patience guards and protects our faith. Patience is able to stay calm and not get annoyed when waiting for a long time. Or when difficult things come. Patience guards and protects our faith, my dear brothers and sisters. It does. In this way, patience guards our faith, keeps us from quickly allowing unbelief to come in. Patience keeps us from making shipwreck of our faith. It helps us bear pain or trials calmly without murmuring or complaining. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians here, he says, in 2 Thessalonians 1:4, he says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Amazing. Patience is so much needed. It guards our faith in times of trouble. Here we see how patience helped the Thessalonians remain steadfast and loyal to Jesus Christ as they suffered trouble and trials. They endured with strong, quiet patience. And I have verse 5 down here, and I just want to quickly try to remember if I'm skipping a verse here or not. I think I will read that. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Amazing words there on patience and the rewards that we find in them. Patience preserves peace. Patience keeps peace safe and in good condition. Patience keeps peace from being lost or harmed. Patience preserves peace in our midst. Think about it, brothers and sisters. If we would all find more patience today for one another, what that would do for the peace in our midst. Even though I don't think there's strife here, but may God help us to continue to grow in patience, and it will bring unity and peace in our midst. Patience cultivates love with care and affection. It helps us hold love closer. And it makes us cherish love. Patience makes us cherish love more. Patience is the teacher of humility. Patience instructs humility when to act and to what degree is necessary. Patience governs and guides the flesh. It controls, directs, and strongly influences our flesh when we allow it to. When our flesh has this urge and this desire to do something, it's patience that says, no, just wait. We're not doing that now. Patience governs, helps us govern and guide our flesh and its carnal desires. Patience strengthens the spirit. Patience makes the spirit stronger and more effective. Patience sweetens the temper. Patience makes our temper more valuable, less painful, and more attractive. Patience tempers down the temper that we tend to have. Patience does that. It takes the carnality or the fleshly desires out of our temper, and it tempers it. Patience does that for us. Patience stifles anger. Patience stops us from expressing anger in the heat of the moment. What is it, my dear brothers and sisters, when someone hits you with words right in the jaw? What is the most important thing to turn the other cheek? I want to encourage you, patience is the first thing I think that will help you. Think rightly. I'm not sure why this comes to mind, but I'm not sure that I... Yeah, anyway, I did have that happen to me where at work. Quite some time ago, there was a fellow that was belligerent and defying, and I'm sure I had my wrongdoings in it. But when the time came to let him go, me and the plant manager, I was just sitting there, and we shared all the reason, all the written warnings, all the things we had done. We just shared everything that we had done to try to help him, and he was still belligerent. And he got up to leave, and he turned around, and he came back, and he hit me as hard as he could. And I had a speaker with a two-way radio on my ear, and he drove that speaker into my ear. And I just bless God. I need more patience, but I bless God for, I feel like the patience that was there, I never once thought about retaliating. I never thought of getting up and starting a fight or anything like that. I'd been converted. I wasn't converted too long at that time. But the point is that patience stifles anger. Patience does that. It's an experience I'll never forget. And I've made a lot of mistakes. But that's one that I was thankful that God helped, gave me enough patience to stifle my anger. Because in my unconverted state, I shouldn't even say this, but in my unconverted state, that man wouldn't have got very far. Not sad to say. Patience stifles anger. Patience extinguishes envy. Are you envious? This is something this is an attitude that can be in our heart, brothers and sisters, and we don't realize, and I'm not sure how it ends up there. But patience can help us with envy. Patience brings death to envy and causes envy to stop burning in our hearts. It can help us with envy. It really can. Patience subdues pride. Patience helps us get control and conquer pride. Patience bridles our tongue. It tempers our word. The words we say. Patience helps us keep our tongue bridled and under check. Patience restrains our hand so it doesn't move too quickly. You know, we find ourselves, and most times God puts us in situations where we're not expecting what comes. And so our hand can rather quickly move to do something that it shouldn't. Patience helps control every part of our body in that way and restrain it. Patience tramples on temptations. I think patience, when we're surrendered and when there's patience in our life, I think it can help us with temptations. Patience steps on temptations and helps us overcome them. When we're tempted to give up or tempted here, tempted there. Patience helps us endure persecutions. Patience helps us deal with and accept pain and unpleasant things. Patience produces unity in the church. Patience helps bring full agreement in the church so all the different members can work together in a way they seem to all belong together. Praise God, it produces unity in the church. Be patient, my dear brothers and sisters. As Ephesians says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we from now on be no more children tossed to and fro. I think it goes on saying. This is another kind of special verse to to me here. Romans 15:5. I'd like to turn there if you have your Bibles. Romans 15:5 says, now the God of patience. It's interesting to me. Think of those words. Think of those words that I just said. The God of patience. The God of patience. And comfort. It says consolation, which means comfort. Grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. I'm saying praise. Patience produces unity in the church. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May there be enough patience here, my dear brothers and sisters, that there's continual unity for years and years to come. There's no reason it has to be any different. May God help us. Patience produces harmony in our families. You know, fathers, thank you for all the patience. And mothers, it takes patience with our dear children. We know what the Bible teaches about the rod. But my dear brothers and sisters, my experience is that if the rod is used effectively, it doesn't have to be used all the time. But that there would be patience with your children as you train them and teach them. And train them. May there be way more training and teaching than there is just the rod. And correction. May there be correction in the place of punishment. But patience produces harmony in our families. Patience comforts the poor. Patience brings delight to the faithful. And invites the unbelieving to come and partake of Jesus Christ. Patience is a beautiful adornment on our sisters and brings approval and confidence to us brothers. Patience is beautiful in each one of our lives. Beautiful. Consider patience's appearance. Consider how patience is dressed. Patience is calm and peaceful. I'm not sure who this thought originates, where I got this thought, but patience was referred to as the face of God in heaven. Think of that. Patience is as the face of God in heaven, unspotted by the shadow of a cloud, and no wrinkle of grief or anger is seen in patience. Patience is found clothed in the robes of the martyrs. Each one of them, as they went to the fire, as they gave their life, we see their patience. Patience holds a scepter in the form of a cross as an emblem of its true authority. Patience is not normally found riding in the whirlwind. Let me start over here. Patience is not normally found riding in the whirlwind in the stormy tempest of passion, but patience's throne is the humble and contrite heart, and her kingdom is the true kingdom of perfect peace. Perfect peace. Patience sees things as they are by seeing things as they shall be. Patience puts things together and makes sense of them. It is the wisdom of God to help us see the end from the beginning. Knowing all these things, brothers and sisters, we say with James, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, complete, wanting nothing, in need of nothing, in need of anything. It's amazing how James words that as he's talking about patience. He's saying when we have patience, we will not need anything. That is amazing. I think that patience, and the way it's used in the Bible, it's one of those virtues that is a little further down in our maturing of the Christian life when we experience more of it. But when we have a degree of this patience, James gives the picture that we're not going to be needing much. We're not going to be needing many things. It's interesting. Patience can be a helpful remedy in any trouble, in any kind of trouble. I had to think of Jonah. Here is an example where patience was missing. God allowed a gourd to grow up overnight so Jonah could have shade. The Bible says Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. And I'm not sure what made God do this, but this is the way God works in our life. So God let this gourd come up for Jonah, and it gave him shade. And it says Jonah was exceedingly glad. But then what does God do? Then God prepares a worm. It says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose, and the next day it smote the gourd that it withered and died. And it made Jonah angry. And Jonah was displeased. Jonah was not patient. He didn't have patience in his life. But God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? What would we say? And Jonah said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Jonah said, yeah, I have a right to be angry, even to the point of death. Be patient, my brethren. I had to think and muse on the ways of God. What made God prepare that worm to eat that gourd? Has God ever done that to you? Has there ever been a nice gourd in your life that God put there and you were exceedingly glad about this gourd, but for some reason God made a worm to kill that gourd? God does that to us. Why does He do it? It was more important to God that Jonah sees what's in his heart than that Jonah's comfortable. Isn't that true? It was more important to God that Jonah sees the anger and the lack of patience and all these other things that are in his life than that Jonah didn't want Jonah sitting there all comfortable and having all these things in his heart. And Jonah didn't know. So God sends a worm. And He does that to us probably daily, brothers and sisters. God creates worms specially for our gourd. They're all just a little different. But we all have our own special worm and our own special gourd that God makes. Why don't we all stand just a bit? I'm trying to get to the home stretch here, and I know that my word can be tiring. I do have a little account here that I think teaches patience as well that I'd like to share. John Sterling's father gave him a small garden to till and plant as he wanted to. Children, this is something I hope you can all understand. It's one reason I want to share it. John Sterling's father gave him a small garden to till and plant as he wanted. He just gave him this little patch of ground. He said, do with it whatever you want. So John got everything ready and planted potatoes. The potatoes didn't sprout and grow when John thought they should. So he dug them all up and planted something else. Nothing seemed to grow when John thought it should. So all summer long he planted and he dug it back up. So that when winter came, he hadn't had the patience to let one thing grow. He planted it for a little bit and he dug it back up. Think of that, my brothers and sisters. That correlates back to our spiritual walks. We do what's right, and sometimes it seems we suffer for it. And then God's asking us to do what's right again. That's patience, and we suffer again. But we have to have faith that as we do what's right, we have a God that somewhere along the line, there's going to, whether we get rewards here on earth or whether we're rewarded or not, we want to have the patience to continue to do what's right, right? Whether we see the value in it or not, we want to have that kind of faith in God. We don't want to just dig things up because we didn't see immediate results. You can be seated. I'll turn you out here to James chapter 5. This is where the text of the title for the message comes from. And we'll just read these scriptures here. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Maybe we have read those already. My mind's kind of mixed up this morning. No, I don't think I have. James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. Is everyone there? Let's read. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Think of the message here. God is saying here in His Word that when a farmer goes out and plants a seed, he has to have a lot of patience and waits for the precious seed to bring forth. It says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Patient, be patient, my brothers. Be patient with ourselves. Be patient with others. Be patient with God's Word. And be patient with God's work. Patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Endure. And patience ye possess your souls. Let me see what Hebrews 12:1 here is. I have it down here as a reference and I forget what it is. It talks about running the race with patience. And I know there's several other scriptures we could go to. Yeah, why don't we just read that here? Before we do, let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. It's an amazing word here as well. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Think of that. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I'm not sure exactly what all Christ is saying here. But I thought it interesting as I read this scripture. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I think that it takes patience to keep God's word is one thing he's saying. But let me just close here with these scriptures here out of James chapter 12. it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Patience, my dear brothers and sisters. Patience has amazing blessings and benefits, I think, that it can help us. Think of a few of these things. It stifles anger. It extinguishes envy. It subdues pride. It bridles our tongue. It restrains us, our hand. It helps us with temptations. It helps us endure. It produces unity and harmony in our families. It is an adornment that when it's added to our life, it brings the beauty of God into our lives. So thank you, my dear brothers and sisters. I thank you for the patience that I see in you all. I didn't share this because I see a need. I think it's a need in my own life. But thank you for the carefulness and the patience with which I think that we're all endeavoring to run the race. May God bless. May God bless you.